Welcome to the Children's Book Author Podcast. I'm your host, Eleanor Page. If you write for children, or it's always been your dream to, you're in the right place. As the Children's Book Author, I'm on a quest to discover everything there is about writing, publishing, and marketing children's books, as well as how to supercharge my creativity, skyrocket my productivity, and absolutely everything else there is to know about how to be the best, so you can be too. Join me as I interview fabulous guests and become the children's book author. Welcome back to the Children's Book Author Podcast with me, your host, Eleanor Page, and this is episode 8, all about psychological fitness for creatives with psychologist Christine Jung. We cannot have the privilege of writing for children, in my opinion, if we do not ourselves have a growth mindset. What is a growth mindset? Well, you'll have to listen to the interview to find that out now, won't you? That's the whole point. Ultimately, it's so important to have one because having a mindset of growth can help you overcome obstacles when you're learning something new or when you're faced with things that are really difficult, which, let's face it, writing, publishing, marketing children's books, it ain't just simple. It's really hard. You're learning all the time, lots of new things constantly. So having a growth mindset is imperative, and I am absolutely positive that you're going to get so much out of today's interview with Christine. Christine is also a really good friend of mine, so I asked her to come on the show because normally I don't find that, say, other marketing or children's book authors or any authors really interview someone like Christine, and I thought it would just give you such a fantastic perspective so that your mindset is in the right place from the very beginning. And again, it will just help you overcome any of those obstacles, those days where you want to quit. I learned from Christine. I know that my own journey became much more gentler. I wasn't so mean to myself when I wrote, quote, a bad book or thought I had a bad writing day. All these things really matter because they shine through in your writing, in your branding, in your online presence, in your marketing. So having a good mindset can increase your confidence and just allow you to be more of who you really are without it all being so stressful or negative. So jump in there, develop a wonderful positive growth mindset after you've listened to this interview, jot down the notes, put them somewhere around you so that when you fall back into old habits, you can create a new attitude of resilience and a love of learning and just be positive-minded about everything coming your way. It's all about growing and becoming a better person little by little, book by book, word by word. And that's enough for me, I think. So get into the interview. Enjoy it. If you do, leave a review. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast in its early stages, and I'll see you on the next show. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you, Eleanor. Such a pleasure to be here today. And hello, everyone who's tuning in to listen.
So tell me a little bit about what you do and who you do it for and why you do it.
So I'm a psychologist specializing in organizational psychology. So what I do is to really training people at work. So anyone, anybody at work from freshly start graduate to very senior executives, I work with them for their psychological fitness. So what is psychological fitness? It's really about the way that you think, the way that you master your emotions, the way that you act, everything combined, how fit you are to do your job. So imagine if it's a leader, it will be about leadership. If it's about graduate, it could be about emerging leadership. So it's all around how you lead yourself and how you lead other people using psychological fitness within you. So that's what I do.
And how do you determine your psychological fitness? Like, what sort of things do you, how do you work it out?
It's basically the quality of your thoughts, and also the, it's a self-rated perception, how clear you think, and how can you effectively and efficiently manage your emotions so that you are able to focus and deliver a task or impact someone or leading a team. So it's about the way you think, it's about how you master emotions, and also the action as well. So it's three key big, I guess I can call it construct, thinking, feeling, and acting. So three things combined.
That's awesome. So when you're thinking of somebody who is, let's say, a creative professional, because that's the audience, or at least wants to be a creative professional, what sort of things can get in the way? I mean, now it's probably similar to maybe, as you say, a leader or a graduate. Are there certain traits or things that you do notice get in the way?
I have to say, creativity is not only for artists, it's for everyone. Because, and of course, for artists, it's particularly important that you are able to create day in and day out. With leaders or professional people, I really think that the most alive moment in their work is they can fully express themselves through using their creativity. Otherwise, no one would love to just stay in a job and working on the Excel 10 hours, right? So it's almost the creativity comes in every single task. You can create a beautiful Excel table. That's creativity.
That was so great what you just said, because what you're saying is that actually creativity is a part of every job. And if it wasn't, then every job would be really dry and boring and everyone would hate it. So thinking about the creative process, whether it is for someone who works, as you say, as an artist, or someone who's using creativity in their other job, whatever that job is, what is the sort of things that block that creativity, that get in the way of that psychological fitness?
I think is the fixed mindset, which is the opposite of the growth mindset, will come into place, and I'll explain what they are. And also the other thing is, I think a lot of creative, including myself, that we create using, leveraging all our energy, including emotional energy. So we are emotional being. So it could be, what blocks it is actually the emotions around, I'm not progressing, I'm not creative today. And you create this psychological response to that challenge that will block creativity even further. So compare with someone that really truly accepts, okay, today that's it, that's all I can do, and I'm going to rest. And it may as well go out for a walk, and then you may come back and do it again. So it's all emotional blockage. Yeah, it's definitely emotional.
And you mentioned the fixed mindset. So what's the opposite from that?
The opposite is growth mindset. So growth mindset is, so an individual who have growth mindset will really believe that their ability and qualities can be cultivated through persistency and effort. So let's say if I hit a roadblock in my creativity, like I can't draw today, for example. If your mindset is around, well, this is a lesson for me to really hearing why today, what is it in today that I cannot draw? Is that in my habit, or is it I give too much attention to the people that I don't, it doesn't worth my time to give? What is it? So it's understanding and give yourself permission to allow it. It's not, no one is perfect, or there is no moment is perfect, right? So allowing that to happen and learn it rather than say, Well, meaning I'm not good enough. I may as well stop. That's fixed mindset and believing that, maybe it's my ability. I will never be able to improve. I can't change this. Well, who am I? Like, I can't change this. Growth mindset individual think that, no, I can change it. I can give it a bit of time. I can rejig my habit a little bit. I continue doing it. I'll test it out. I will be able to cultivate a habits that support my creativity. So it is that process of believing in your ability that can change anything or do anything that you set goal to finish. That's growth mindset.
I find with me that I alternate, particularly when I'm trying to learn something new. I'll go fixed, then I'll go growth, and then I'll be like fixed. Is that normal?
I think it's absolutely normal. I think all of us have a very critical noise to tell ourselves, including me, right? It's like when I hit a roadblock, it's almost instant. It's like, well, this is not good enough. Why don't you be good enough to start with? So the first could be a fixed mindset, but it could be trained. Like a growth mindset can be trained. It's almost changing your perception around things and also to have faith in your belief, like believing in yourself. So all this can be trained in your mind. That's called psychological fitness because you can train it.
So you can train confidence then?
You can train confidence. Confident, I would say, is cultivate. You can cultivate confidence. Yeah, definitely.
How?
I know you're going to ask that question. I think it's a very big question. What makes someone confident, let's put it this way, is different aspects. So if someone is really confident, they truly believe in what they do, and almost particularly creative is believing what they are doing or contributing is uniquely is unique. If you know what you are creating is great and unique, you have the confidence. So you will ask me, so how do I develop it? It's really through knowing your strengths and passion and your lifted experience. So basically it's your package, the combination of different parts of you, of your strengths, of even your quirky side, your shadow self, everything combined. No one is Anna Page. No one else. No one else can do what you do because uniquely all these strengths and lifted experience, career experience combined, is you will not find anyone have exact combination of all this goodness. No one. So it's to find that goodness and leverage it, talk about it, contributing, using it to the world, you will find a confident.
Oh my goodness, like I need to literally get offline and have a complete workshop with you.
I think to start with, it sounds like a really big thing, but it is like almost how do you start is to really know what you're good at.
Okay. And be really honest about that. Like see it for what it is.
See it for what it is and own it and leverage it. Even if something is the world think you are really weird or even the world think doesn't give a good evaluation of it. For example, I have a friend that really loves to hide herself when she do creation and always disappear always disappear. No one knows where she is. And then I think her business partner always just say, you can't be like this when you run a business. You have to be always available. Well, who said you have to be always available? You have to be responsively set boundaries, saying, I'm going to disappear for 2 days. So just give me that 2 days. So you need to know how to set boundary, right? But even that quirkiness or that personality is very important for your creativity and confidence, build that confidence. And people will respect it. But you have to say it and you have to believe it first. Otherwise, people will not believe in you because if you don't believe in it yourself.
Well, that one stung, Christine.
Yeah, I know.
So you have to believe it or other people won't believe it.
Will not believe it, yeah.
So know who you are. Be really clear about who you are and don't be afraid to communicate that, either through your work or through your personality or through your work habits. And perhaps that's why a lot of creatives are often a little bit eccentric, can often be seen as somewhat eccentric.
Yeah, and I think is that eccentric, that is how the unique qualities can come up, is through that. Even the world think, oh my God, you're so weird. Well, who cares? Right, but because it's through that space of quirkiness or whatever your uniqueness is, true expression of yourself come out. So I think that's really critical, because I think there are a lot of noise in the world that block you from being who you really are. A lot of comments, you know, now we have social media, a lot of people comments on different things and see things differently, you know. It's a norm of the world. It's very polarized as well, the opinion. It's very hard to stand grounded and fully show up to the world who you are in a very strong way. It's a collective challenge.
Yeah, it definitely is. And also, like, to not compare yourself to other people, because they might be at a different stage of their journey. And so, you know, you might look at somebody else's creative output and think, oh my gosh, that is like so good. I could never do that. And then it can just make me feel so bad that then I don't do anything for days, instead of my brain thinking, oh, well, that's them and it's beautiful. And now, anyway, back to what I was doing, or what little bit can I take from that back to what I'm doing? I quit. I noticed this as an emotional pattern. So is that common or is that just me?
No, I think it's very common, Eleanor. Is I did that too. Like, it's very common. And particularly when you see someone similar profile as you, like the closest similarity it is, the other person, the comparison grows stronger. I share this as well because our mind, it's almost, I wanted to tell people, really don't believe what your mind tells you, because our mind is there to protect you. We need to listen to our mind as well, because it's about protection. It's always about protection. If you take a little bit of risk, if you need to continue doing your work without knowing the result, but just create, and your mind will try to stop it if there is no result. It's like, well, it has been 2 months. No one make any comments on your social media about how beautiful your drawing is. Stop it. People are not looking at it. Without any evidence, the mind will tell you things to protect you, to stay in a comfort zone. It's human instinct. It's evolutionary.
Should you listen to it when it does that?
It depends on how loud that is. It really depends. Sometimes if it's really, really loud, that makes you feel I guess, unsafe, you may need to really look at it. Why is it happening? But if it's like a lawyer saying, questioning about, maybe you should stop, then it's about really mindfully listen to it as well. It's not about ignoring it. It's about mindfully shine light on, oh, okay, interesting. You know, just show curiosity to your mind rather than interpret it straight away. This is mindfulness, right? It's really about zooming out a little bit and, okay, I hear what you're saying. Then you have the choice, right? I hear what you're saying. Interesting. Thank you. Let me experiment a bit more. You can talk to your mind, right? Not openly, because people may be thinking you're weird, but just at home with yourself.
Yeah, because you're not actually your mind. You're the observer.
You are the observer of your mind.
Yes. So you make the final decision. You're like the judge. And you sort of take it into consideration, and maybe your feelings as well and all the other evidence, and then you make a decision, right?
And sometimes I think also it's really about knowing your shadow self as well. What is it that you are being triggered? Sometimes it's actually not whatever in front of you. Sometimes it's about whatever in front of you triggered something very old. And you need to deal with it and you need to heal that part of you. It's not about whether you should stop drawing now or you won't be a great painter now. It's not about that. It's really about maybe since little, your parents never really believe in you. It could be just like that. It's not about now, but it's about the old. It's triggered the old. Then you need to think about, oh, okay. Is this really the case? I don't have any evidence that I won't be a great painter. If I stop now, I won't be one. But if I continue, no one say I won't be one. So it's really differentiating whatever you're thinking, do you have sufficient evidence?
That's so powerful. So would you go as far as to say that the only reason somebody doesn't get where they're wanting to get to is because they lack the psychological fitness to make it there?
I actually say it's a big claim, yeah. Yeah, short answer to that, it is.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that's like, no, it was like pause moment. Did you hear that, people, what we just said, what she just said? What you're saying to me, correct me if I'm saying this right, that any of us can become or get, even if you wanted to become CEO of your own organization or, you know, become the next Leonardo da Vinci or whatever, that the only thing stopping you is, the biggest thing stopping you is your lack of psychological fitness. You allow your emotions and your thoughts and your belief systems to knock you down, slow you down in that journey of taking action and improving and getting amazing and doing your 10,000 hours and doing that thing. Is that right?
Yeah, and when I say fitness, it's not those hardcore non-stop. You know it's never work. I'm not advocating if you go to gym every single day, 8 hours, it will just kill your body and it will not allowing anything grow, basically. It will kill things in your body. So it's the same for psychological fitness. It's not about I push myself. It's about you also need to show, it's also a sign of fitness, what I'm talking here, to show yourself compassion and kindness. Many people don't know, because when we are creating things, we often sometimes feel very, I guess, alone. When we create, it's very alone, that feeling. It may not directly link to loneliness, but you are alone when you create. So it's about when you are alone and you face challenges alone, the first thing it could be just say, it's okay. And it's when those kindness ground yourself, then you are able to continue to push. So it's almost like yin and yang, and it's finding that balance. Balance is fitness. It's not always go, go, go is fitness, but it's training your mind, body, spirit, and soul to know when to go, when to stop, when to retreat, when to nonstop go for a while and then completely relaxed. You find your pace, but the fitness is finding that pace that suits yourself, that is most efficient and effective for yourself. Some of my friends can work 20, like, you know, after 12 a.m., I sleep at 9:30. I cannot think after 10 p.m. But some of my friends is like the golden time to create. And I'm like, okay, see you later. I'm going to bed. You got what I mean? So you need to listen to that too. That's fitness. Like not following other people. You find out your own way to suit you.
Right. So it's back to knowing yourself again, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a journey of self-discovery. And from what I'm hearing from you, like truth, like being really honest with yourself. Like if it was physical fitness, you'd know when you overdid it or when you didn't rest enough. It's probably the same. If you burn out in creativity, then that's a sign you weren't quite doing it right. Not for you anyway.
I think all of you know that if you push yourself to sit there and create, it doesn't come. You know, sometimes it's when you're relaxed and in a place of joy or fun, it could just come. So it's about also cultivating that for you as well.
And when you hit a wall and, like, let's say fear stops you from continuing, like, what's the better approach? Or is that vary as well? Should you, like, take some time off? Should you, like, force yourself to get back in the chair for a little bit? What have you found works?
I think it really works when you really understand your intrinsic motivator, what naturally motivates you to do what you do. And some people talk about this as why you do what you do. And that, if you discover that clearly, like you can experiment it. I'm not saying that everyone should know it or now, my purpose of life. I'm not suggesting that either. And I don't think anyone should put yourself through that pressure. It's all by experiment. But if you set intention to find it, you will find it. But the key is to really know why you do what you do. What is it that you would like to contribute in this, in your creative world? What can you contribute to the world? So I think that's something that will keep you going when times is really bad or challenge time.
Yeah, well, it will sort of keep you awake, won't it? Because otherwise you snooze off and you don't do your work.
That's true. That's also keep you awake because you are so excited. Yeah, that's true.
I found with me, like, you know, I was, I started drawing and I was going pretty strong and then, oh, wall, and then I push through and I start drawing and then another wall. It's sort of like this kind of like stop start, and then you can lose momentum. So, you know, like this, the sort of the that argument of it's okay sometimes to slow down, but you should always be keeping some form of momentum. Do you think that's true?
Some form of momentum depends. I also feel it depends. If you consciously stop, that will help you, like not touching it for a week. But you have to promise yourself you will pick it up on the eighth day. And you set it. And some people need to do something and touch base, a little task every day to see progress. And that's important to them. But some will be like, that's it. I'll give myself 3 days not touching it, and that's when my fourth day's creativity comes. For me, I cannot do creative work for too long. I'm those people that if I continuously do it for 3 months, I need to cut 1 week completely off. So I don't need to continue doing that week to get the momentum.
Right. And again, my brain can't help but liken it to, like you're saying, to physical fitness. Some people like to do a little bit every day. Yeah, a sort of soft amount. Others like hit it hard and then they have like a bit of time off to let their body recover. So it play and experiment to find your way and what suits you.
It could take quite a while to figure it out, and it's okay. And it's okay too. But the key here is your intention and self-awareness. Like you have to be very attentive to your own thinking and emotions and everyday habits, what works and what not works. Weekly review is a good place to start with, or journaling. It will be a great way to documenting some of these things. So I find it really work. Like my clients find it really worked if they journal some of their blockages or what works for them, they can review it and they see the patterns. Like after a month, they see it. Oh, when I do this, actually this worked. And when I don't do this, this actually take me 2 days back to that momentum. So it's also patience with yourself when you are on the journey to figure out all these things. But pay attention. Yeah, attentive to your own mind and body and spirit.
Yeah, I love that. Just be that kind observer again and try a different game plan until you find one that really does work, and do that weekly review. Is it helpful to sometimes do that with somebody else who's on the similar journey?
Yeah, you know who I do it with?
Who do you do it with?
I do it with Eleanor Page.
Do you?
Yeah. I do it with Eleanor Page every week on a Sunday. So no one contact us on a Sunday because we need to do planning. Not available. Yeah.
So since we've been doing that, have you found for you that it's made a difference to your focus and creative, how you do creativity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's sometimes, you know, other persons see things that you can't see. And when you exchange ideas and information, it really helps. And sometimes you only need another person to sit in front of you. And when you talk things out, it's almost, it processes things in your head as well. So I think it's really giving the whole creative process a structure as well. I think it really worked. Do you find it useful?
I think it's been a game changer. There have been lots of weeks where I like want to run away and not confess to you that I'm like, I have failed this week. But to have someone that you can trust, that you can, you also, for me personally, being able to admit that on the weeks where it doesn't go well is very empowering, because rather than failing to my own self-judgment, which is really harsh, and then thinks, what's the point? What's the point? I discuss that out loud and see there were reasons. There were things I did wrong or things I allowed to distract me, that if I just kind of move that slightly, then it's okay. Like it works again. So that having that ability with somebody that you trust and value and take on board everything they say, like we're really blatantly honest with each other, is I find amazing.
What I realize also is that's actually life. You can't really plan during the week. I plan I won't be disturbed by my kids. How can you plan such things? You cannot plan such things.
You know, I try to plan that all the time, and then
it's a given that you will be distracted by them.
my child wanted dinner. Don't they know that I need to draw?
So there is, I think, that's where kindness come in. And I think what kills creativity is the harshness to ourselves. It kills it. It's a cycle. If we couldn't do any work, if we blame ourselves, oh, today I can't create. And the harshness continue killing creativity, and you can't do more. And it's like a loop. It's like a loop. So I think the biggest blocker to creativity is you actually blame yourself, can't create. You rather have like a 15 minutes good solid flow of creation rather than 7 hours sitting in your canvas or whatever that you can't flow, but you self-blame and all that critical mindset just kicked in. You rather let it, you need to have structure, you need to hold yourself accountable, but you can't be too harsh on yourself. That's killed completely, creativity, gone.
I love that. You have to be really kind to yourself. Like I think for me, it comes back to that thing you said earlier of that balance. You can't let yourself go too much and, you know, keep yourself accountable. But also on the other hand, if you go too extreme, then you sort of lose the creativity altogether. It just becomes a thing that you do without any joy and pleasure.
I think the state of joy and fun will allow creativity to come through the most. Or a state of relaxing, it will allow it to come more.
Yeah, a relaxed state. I love that. It helps you be in a relaxed state. And then it sort of feels like it just flows, doesn't it?
And I think that's why maybe is the fitness is around to cultivate in your life. What is it that make you feel joy? And what is it that make you feel relaxed? Rather than a statement of, how can I be more creative? And I think if you are in a state of joy and relax, you will hear the answer. I believe that. Rather than do and crowded with all these things. And it's also a balance. Once the idea comes through, you have to do it. You have to actually draw something about it.
Yeah, if you don't actually do the act itself, then you can plan and want to do it all day long, but you're not doing it, then
you're not doing it.
Yeah. And do you think as you challenge yourself, particularly with a growth mindset, because, you know, you might master that level, but now you're going to go up to the next level, you always have to be prepared that your confidence kind of goes back down again, and that's a normal part of the process?
That's normal, because when you are outside your comfort zone, and also we only learn when we are outside comfort zone.
So you should do that.
You should feel a bit risky and tell yourself you are learning. Don't expect you are the expert.
Or ever.
And it's always tells yourself, I haven't mastered it yet. It's the yet, right? Because if you put yourself outside comfort zone, it's not logical that you think you are an expert. You are learning. But once you master it, it depends if you're really satisfying in your own level, maybe stay there. But if you wanted to go up and better and elevate, be greater, that's also the fitness comes in, is always have a moderation around, I want to be greater. How do you do that? Put yourself to the next level and risk it to feel a bit uncertain, risk it to feel a bit less confident. But I'm here to learn. So I'll start from basic skill and then I will learn it, and then I improved it, and then I will, you know, practice it, and then you will reach a state of mastery. But it takes effort. So this is also one characteristic of growth mindset, is knowing that, believing that if you put effort in, you will success. Fixed mindset people, is they will be thinking, it won't matter. I won't be successful. Why I will put effort in? I won't put any effort in. So they will forever stay in there, right there. It will. You will hit a wall. Ah, it's a bit shaky again because you are learning something new.
And can you talk a bit about anxiety? For me, I'll have to write, you know, the next chapter. I'll be in bed and I'll be like, I'm anxious, almost like I worry that I won't be able to deliver it. You know, it's that fear of, like, even if I've got the skill and the effort and the time and the, but there's almost this kind of underlying anxiety that what if I won't pull it off?
That makes sense. So does that anxiety stop you, or does that anxiety help you?
Ooh, gee, you're good at your job.
Kind of.
Both at different times. So sometimes it does stop me, and I know that, like, a week's gone past and I'm totally avoiding writing the next thing, and it's sort of like I'm late on that project again. And other times that anxiety really helps me get into that state.
Yeah, I think anxiety, it could link to because you worry about the results. Is that what it is for you?
All about the results. What if I don't, like, you know, pull it off, bring it through, if I'm not? Now, I know some people mitigate that by planning. So, you know, like, the more they plan.
You're talking about me? Yeah.
You know, like, planners, I feel like they're a bit luckier because they've planned. And I notice if planners, you know, like, do workshops on how to do something, they always recommend you should plan. And in fact, they say to people like me, you're anxious because you're not planning. So you have to plan. But what happens, I swear this is what happens. I plan and I know exactly where it's going, but then I sit down and it doesn't go that way. And then I think, nah, I planned for nothing. But maybe the plan made me feel a bit more secure, even when it went the wrong way. Maybe that's true. If I really think about it deeply, maybe the plan gave me a sense of security. Like, even for these podcasts, I'll often plan, but then the conversation just goes that way.
Yeah. So it goes the other way.
But maybe planning did make me feel less anxious. I mean, I'm making up a solution as I talk out loud. Thank you, Christine. But do you think that's true?
I think it also depends. I have clients that they cannot plan, and planning stress them. Like, planner around them stress them. So I suggest them, why do you have to plan? Like, why do you have to plan? Right, because I think that the people that doesn't plan, they get more creative when they don't have structure to bind them. They can be very much multitasking. So think about whether you can do multitask or you are a single tasker. I'm a single tasker. That's why I need to plan. I cannot do multiple things at the same time. So are you a multitasker or single tasker?
Oh, that's a really good... Look, because I read the book, The One Thing, I've kind of, like, forced myself to do one thing at a time, because otherwise I'd be doing 15 things at a time, and that has helped. But my brain is kind of like... it's the way I describe it is, it's like I open it up to something. There's so many things going on in my head at once and they all want to come in. And when I trust that, it generally does work. But I worry that I'll turn up and, like, my brain won't open up that day, and I'll just be sitting there with a closed roof who'll be like, hello, hello, is anything coming in today? I'm sure every creative has this problem.
Yeah, and I think also it also depends on what makes you thrive. If it's multitasking make you thrive, you may as well multitasking. I'm just not a multitasker. That's why I need a plan. So that my multitask can finish, like many tasks can finish in a week. But I have clients or friends that they are multitasker. They will just do many things at one time, but they will finish all of them in a decent amount of time.
Okay, let's move on to commitment as the last topic before we run out of time. So when you commit to something, is that like a good thing for psychological fitness, like that you commit to get to the end of that project no matter what obstacles come into the way?
Yes, with one condition. Not burning yourself out or changing who you are in the mid to get to what. So if in along the way, if you feel like whatever you are doing is not who you really are or who you are transformed, it's okay to stop. That also takes a lot of courage to admit what you have put in for many, many, many years, you retire them, you transform or you outgrown that identity, and it's okay.
Ooh, what a powerful answer, Christine.
That's why I've seen a lot of kids lately that they think that they can figure out their life purpose when they are 15. I'm like, because everyone talking about purpose. Like, I'm a person that always tell leaders you need to know your purpose, but I'm talking to like 35 and above. It's not a 15 years old. If they know their purpose at that moment, perfect. Go for it and try it. Right? It's the same as even 35 or 55. If you were pursuing your purpose and in the middle of it, you realized, oh, who I am transformed. And it's okay. And experiment other things.
What you're saying is if I wake up tomorrow and I suddenly want to write romance, instead of my, which is like a cognitive bias, that my brain says, no, you've just written like, you know, how many, 20 books, children's books. You're only a children's book author. You can't change. But maybe I haven't found my genre yet, for example. Maybe I'd write better romances, then it's okay to stop that and start that, so long as you're not doing it to run away.
That's right, 100%.
So how do you know? How do you know that? Like, how do you know if you're being, do you just feel it from inside that you're dying to try something new or that this doesn't feel like who I am anymore?
You have a sense of emptiness and loneliness. If you realize there is a pattern of whatever you're doing doesn't uplift you, this often a sign. If it doesn't uplift you, I'm not talking about short-lived excitement, because you can't expect those happen. I love my work with people, but I still need to do Excel sometimes, and I hate Excel. But I can't say, oh, I'm not leaving my purpose today because I'm doing Excel. I'm not suggesting that either. I'm saying if there is a pattern in whatever you do, in what you are focusing on, and you, nothing can uplift you. Nothing create that deep meaning for you. It's time to listen to it. You may not know what it is. Yeah, it's time to retreat a bit and listen.
Yeah, that's so wise. Like last year, I couldn't write anything at all. I wrote a little bit, but not much. At the end of that, it was like, maybe I'm not supposed to write children's books. And I had to actually go through a process where I said to myself, if I never finish the series that I've started, it's okay. It doesn't matter. And that took work. Like that took a bit of, because at first it was like, no, I can't not finish something. So I sort of let it go. And as I let it go, they came back.
Because you're relaxed.
Yeah, maybe if I let them go, they might have gone away. And then I suddenly wrote something completely different. But I had to trust and let them go and actually say, look, if it's really who I am, then they'll come back. And if it's not who I am, then it's, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, and it's the courage to, at that moment, to admit to yourself, it's okay, I'm not touching it for a while, it's okay. Who knows, maybe, as you said, a week after, it's like, oh, I want to write that again. So it's more about understanding why that shift happened.
And why do these shifts happen in us? Is it because just we change and grow over time?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's as you grow, or if you were particularly paying attention to your growth, if you're curious about your own self, you can shift daily. If it is only when people don't pay attention to themselves, they will take years to shift something. But if you are someone that pay attention to your personal development, your reflection, your mind, you grow. You can outgrow something very quickly. And it's okay.
Yeah, and I suppose your own likes and dislikes. If I never read children's books and hated them, then it would seem a bit weird perhaps to write them, maybe. Though I have been told on these interviews and elsewhere that there are children's book authors that don't like children. Who knew?
Oh, that's interesting.
That's actually a thing. But, yeah, to hate actual children's books, I did go watch a Disney movie yesterday. Is that proof? That I do like kids' books. Actually, it was funny because I was watching Raya and the Dragon, and the front cover of one of my upcoming books that I haven't written yet, which is Poppy Snow and the Dragons of Atlantis. Disney copied my dragon. I swear they took that dragon off my front cover. I was like, that's my dragon. I was so upset. I was sitting through the movie going, I cannot believe Disney stole my dragon. Like, Disney stole my dragon. Like, I think I should contact them and say, I need to be paid here.
That's my IP. Give me money. That's my dragon.
But I guess the reason I'm telling you that is, like, I cared. It mattered to me. And the fact that it mattered to me meant that I really do want to write that book and they stole my dragon versus me going, meh, whatever, you know, this movie's boring. I don't care. I have no analysis of it. Like, I'm right in there analyzing and thinking about it and, like, it's my world. So I suppose if it matters to people, then it's important for them to pursue it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And interesting for me, I work with people. I always joke about I love and hate people because I care so much that I get frustrated when I see people are hurt or are not kind to each other, not showing empathy to each other. And it's like, oh my God, like, you get what I mean? When you are facing something for so long or dealing with something for so long, it's your passion. Sometimes it's a love and hate relationship when you are, you know, when you're really passionate about something. Like, I think your kids, love and hate relationship. Yeah.
And I do see that. Like, there'll be other, you know, artists that are like, this, you know, this industry's too hard, or, you know, they just got a bad review or whatever. So I hate this. I hate it. And I'll often, when I see that extreme hate, to me, it's the same as the extreme love. It means it matters to them. And they're like, I'm quitting. And you think, no, you're not. And they'll quit, but they'll come back because it really mattered to them. It's actually if you're meh, they have no feeling almost, isn't it?
Because it's strong, extreme. That's how you create meaning. Like, when meaning is so strong, it matters. Yeah, and yeah, you're right. Is that love and hate relationship telling you what you care most, actually?
Well, it's been so good talking to you.
I love to be here.
I've learned so much. I need to go take notes based on the interview now and actually start putting all these things into practice. I can't thank you enough for being on the show.
No problem. I love to be here, Eleanor.
Well, you've just shared, you know, your incredible expertise and years of study with all us who don't know all of these things that you know. And again, it's just been massively valuable.
Yeah. So happy to be contact as well. Any questions? Let me know. If any of your audience have any questions, let me know.
So all of Christine's contacts details and the website and everything will be in the show notes, so look out for that as always, everybody. And thanks again so much for tuning into the show.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Did you find that interview valuable? Great. Now be an awesome human and go and leave a review, because it helps the podcast out so much. Want to read the show notes? Check out thechildrensbookauthorpodcast.com. Want to find out more about me, Eleanor Page? Find me at eleanorpage.com, or come and say hello on social at Eleanor Page Books. Until next time, keep writing and keep learning.